All right, let's open our Bibles today to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 2. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you there. You can feel free to use that. John, chapter 2. And then we're going to turn to another passage in the Gospel of John. So let's begin here, though, in John chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. As a matter of fact, one verse is all I'm going to read. Two, but you'll see in a minute. Here, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, I want you to notice here that John tells us the mother of Jesus was there. In the Gospel of John, he never calls her by name. He just, he always says the mother of Jesus, or the mother of our Lord's mother was there. But John, notice, says the mother of Jesus was there. Now, what is so special about this chapter and this story? If you look at verse 11, you will see that John tells us that the miracle that Jesus did here, which was the miracle of turning the water into wine, you'll see in verse 11, John says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. All right, so this was the very beginning of our Lord's public ministry. I want you to take note of that. This is where the 3.5 years of public ministry that Jesus had on this earth, this is where it started, right here in Cana of Galilee. And notice that John tells us the mother of Jesus was there. Now, I want you to go now to the 19th chapter of John, over to the end of the book. And at the end of the book, in the 19th chapter, let's begin reading in verse 23. And in verse 23, the Bible says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among themselves, among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. All right, now, I read that to show you that the Lord Jesus is now being crucified. So look at verse 25. In verse 25, John says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Do you see that? There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that's John, our author here, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. All right, let's pray, and I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to simply entitle, And His Mother Was There. And His Mother Was There. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today for the Word of God. And this is such a simple little truth that I want to share this morning. But it is something I think we need to know and to realize and to understand. I think it will help us. I think it will help our mothers here this morning. And I think it will help those of us who are sons and who are daughters to better appreciate Mom and what she has done for us. And I just pray that you will bless the message to each and every heart. I pray that we'll give attention. I pray that we will focus, and may the Word of God help us this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. I never cease to be amazed at the detail one finds when reading the Bible. The Bible is an amazing book, absolutely amazing book. There are so many places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the book, ultimately, this book was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are so many places where the Holy Spirit of God goes the extra mile to add the smallest bit of information. But once added, we read it and we say, wow, wasn't that a beautiful touch? I would never have thought to put that in there. Think, what a beautiful touch that is. And that is the case with how the gospel writers, and I think especially John, all of them do it, but especially John, adds little things to the story of Jesus that we usually just blow right over. We're reading the Bible and we just blow right over. We don't stop to really pay attention so many times, and it would really help us and be a blessing to us if we would stop and just pay attention and realize what the Lord is saying. All throughout the New Testament, there are these little statements that are thrown into the Bible about Mary, most of which are completely parenthetical. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by parenthetical? Well, most of the time, these little comments have nothing to do with the main story that's being told. The story in and of itself is what we're to focus on, but there is a little parenthesis in the story where either Matthew or Mark or Luke or John will insert right in the middle of the story or right when the story is concluding, and they will say, almost like it was in parentheses, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. You can't miss it, because they're always doing it. And I'll show you that this morning. But the little parentheses, and it will say that Mary was there. Now, let me give you some examples of this. The little statement like, and the mother of Jesus was there, which we read in John 2:1. Or it'll say, Mary, his mother, was there. Or in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 47, Matthew said, behold, his mother stood without. So his mother was standing on the outside of the crowd looking in. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know, wants us to on purpose know that while telling the story of Jesus, that Mary was standing on the periphery. She was always there, just always seemed to be there. I remember the first time that I ever preached in a church on purpose. somebody actually asked me to preach, which shocked me. But I got a phone call. I was 19 years of age, a student in Bible college. I came home for the summer, and Glenn Matthews was behind this, but this church in Ruth, West Virginia. That was the name of the little town, Ruth, West Virginia. Now, Ruth is one of those little unincorporated places. It is, as you're going out of Kanawha County into Lincoln County, there is this road that winds out through the mountains there, and this little, there's a curve, and in the curve there's a road that goes off, and it goes up what we call a holler. You know what a holler is, right? That's where you have a mountain on one side, a mountain on the other side, and then you have a creek and a row of houses where you can stick a house. All right, and they call that a holler. It's a hollow, but it gets hillbillyized, and it becomes a holler. And so Ruth was a little community that was an offshoot of that main road, and just about halfway up through that little community, there was a little Baptist church, and they called me and asked me if I would preach on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Now, I was floored. I said, you really want me to do that? And they said, yes. He said, we want you to come and preach for us. And so I said, well, okay. And so I didn't have any sermons at that time. And so I had to start working on some sermons and get the sermons ready. But I was 19 years of age. Now, I got there about 6:30 in the evening, and the pastor told me to be there at 6:30, so I was there at 6:30. Church started at 7, and when I got there, he took me back into his study, and we sat down and started to talk. And he got to know me, and I got to know him, and so on. You know, I mean, I had no idea who these people were, had no idea who he was, and he didn't know me. So we spent about 20 minutes just getting to know one another. And then he said, well, I guess we better go out. I hear the folks outside. And so I really didn't know what to expect, but we prayed, and then he led the way out of his study. His study was off the choir loft over here on the side. And so we came through the little door, and I shut the door behind me and turned around. I was really shocked by the number of people who were there. It was full. The church was full. And they wanted to come out and hear the teenage preacher, I guess. And he had been promoting it, and everybody and his dog and Ruth was there. And they left the dogs on the front porch, but everybody was there. And so I got up and took my seat, and the piano player was playing, and I started looking out, and I scanned the left-hand side of the church and was thankful that I didn't know anybody. And then I looked over on the right-hand side and started scouring the right-hand side of the church. And when I looked back on the third row from the back over against the wall, my mother was sitting there. Now, my mother passed away. She had a massive heart attack and died, sort of like Brother Stainer, like Larry, and at 47 years of age, and went on to heaven. But I looked over, there she was. And she was smiling. I mean, she was as proud. She was smiling like somebody giving her $1 million. And she's just sitting over there just grinning. And I would preach, and she had nod her head. And I the sermon wasn't much, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was 19 years old. That was my first full-length sermon. I actually had to preach for 30, 40 minutes. And it wasn't much. I remember that part. But when we got home that night, my mother went on and on and on about what a wonderful sermon it was. And she said, I think that might just be the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. And I said, oh, Mom, you're just saying that. No, no, no. She said, there was more Bible in that sermon. Oh, my, I enjoyed that. And she just went on and on and on about it. She was there Sunday night, and she was there Monday night, and she was there Tuesday night, and she was there on Wednesday night. I mean, she didn't miss a thing. And just as happy as she could be. And I remember how thrilled and how excited I was whenever I got up to preach and looked back and saw my mom sitting back there listening and cheering me on as I preached the Word of God. Now, folks, listen. We all understand that the Lord Jesus is the focal point of the Bible. All of us understand the light of the Scriptures shines upon Him. He is the center. He is the hero. He is the focus. He is the one who stands at the heart and the center of all things. But even though the focus is upon Christ and the spotlight is always shining upon Him, the Bible goes to great lengths to make sure we understand that while He was standing there doing His work, He was standing there preaching His sermons and performing His miracles. And while He was engaged in His wonderful 3.5 years of earthly ministry, His mother was always there. I mean, no matter what the Lord Jesus was doing, the Holy Spirit wants to make sure, the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired and directed the writers of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit seems always to mention and make sure we understand that she was always there. For instance, in that passage I read to you a moment ago in John 2, at our Lord's very first miracle, we read, and the mother of Jesus was there. Isn't that just like a mother? I mean, to be there when her child is doing something major and something wonderful. And this first miracle, according to verse 11, and John makes sure that we understand that was our Lord's first miracle. But isn't it interesting that John makes sure we know that His mother was there and that it was Mary who pushed Him and kick-started His earthly ministry. In Matthew 12 and verse 47, we see another wonderful example of this. Jesus had performed a miracle, a bunch of miracles, where He was casting devils out of people who were afflicted and persecuted by these evil and vile spirits. And the Pharisees were standing out watching Him heal these people. They were coming to Him possessed of devils, and He was casting out the devils and healing these people. And the Pharisees looked at Him and they scoffed. This man is casting out devils in the power of Beelzebub. Now Beelzebub that's the devil. And they were saying that Jesus was casting out devils through the power of the devil. And this is when Jesus preached that great sermon where He talked about the unpardonable sin. You remember that? So this was for sure one of the highlight events and one of the great days in our Lord's life and ministry. And so picture Him in your mind, all right? People coming from far and wide, and He's casting out devils, and He's healing people, and He is teaching the people and preaching His messages, and it's just been a wonderful day. And then Matthew makes sure, as he closes the story, that he tells us, and behold, His mother stood without. So it seems like she was just always there. Let me tell you something, folks. The light was upon Jesus when He performed His first miracle of turning the water into wine. But His mother was there. The light was upon Jesus when he cast out those devils in Matthew 12, but his mother was standing by. She was there. In this passage in John 19, the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. God in the flesh was paying the awful penalty that you and I owe for sin. The Bible says, he who knew no sin was on that cross and became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And realize the nails are in his hands and in his feet. He is fastened to the cross to hang there naked in shame before the eyes of the whole city. The crown of thorns is upon his head, and the blood is pouring from his awful wounds. And yet, John takes the time to tell us, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. You see, it's just like her. And of course, we all know that she was front and center on that Sunday morning when Jesus resurrected from the dead, don't we? Oh yeah, she was there. And then you turn the page and you get to the first chapter of the book of Acts, and Jesus is getting ready to ascend to the Father and to go through the clouds and to take a seat at the right hand of God. And we learned that there were 120 people in that upper room, and they are all waiting on the promise of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost is just a few days away, and Peter is going to stand up and preach the gospel, and 3,000 souls are going to get saved when he does. And yet in Acts 1:14, Luke says, before he tells the story, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Isn't that something, folks? I mean, no matter where you look, she just always seems to be there. He couldn't give her a whole lot of attention because he was so busy, but she was there. She was standing in the background somewhere. No matter what he was doing, there she was. Somewhere in the background. And don't you think the Lord Jesus took great comfort in being able to look to the left or to look to the right or to look out on the periphery and see her standing there giving 100% support to what he was doing? You see, that was the only time my mother got to hear me preach. That was four times. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. That's all she ever got to hear me preach. Man, I'm so glad she was there. And I'm telling you, they were weak. All four sermons. I mean, the guy called me like 2 weeks before. And he said, can you preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? I was sitting there thinking while I'm talking to him, I don't have four sermons. I have one sermon that I did for Preacher Boys class. But I don't have four sermons. And so I had a full-time job working during the day. And I would come home and work on my sermons until the wee hours of the morning until I had four sermons. But I'm telling you right now, those four sermons are under lock and key. And now, listen, if you break into my office and go digging to find them, I'm going to kill you in Christian love. All right? But I'm going to kill you nonetheless. Those sermons are awful. But my mother sat there and endured those sermons, smiling from ear to ear, and said, I believe that Sunday night sermon was the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. Mom just knows what to say, doesn't she? She's just there. Just there. Back in Matthew 2. Let's go back there for just a minute. Turn back to Matthew, the first of the Gospels, the first book of the New Testament. And let me show you something here about Mary. Let me just have you turn back to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. All right, familiar verses. And I know it's not Christmas time, but the walls will stand, believe me. We're going to read this, read some of these verses. It's not Christmas, but we're going to read them anyway. Look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men from the east. All right, so these fellows came from Persia, from Babylon, from Iran, what is today Iran. And they came to Jerusalem, and here's what they said. Look at verse 2. They said to King Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now, here's the problem. Herod was the king of the Jews. All right, so here comes these guys, and they want to know, where is the king of the Jews? And Herod is probably standing there thinking to himself, well, wait a minute, boys, I'm the king of the Jews. And so Herod had no clue. And so he calls for the priest. If you'll look at verse 4, and by the way, these fellows, when they came into town, they let everybody know what they were there for. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So when they came into town, they made it known. They announced to everybody why they were there. We're looking for the king. And old Herod's standing there going, well, wait a minute, I'm the king. Oh, no, we ain't looking for you, bud. We're looking for the king, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. And so Herod, he brought in the priest in verse 4, and he demanded of them where the Christ, the Messiah, should be born. And they said, well, he is to be born according to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, in Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 5, and verse 2, the Messiah is going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And so what happened here? Well, look at verse 7. It says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now look at me. No, sir. He had absolutely zero intent on going and worshiping the Christ. No way. You say, how you know that? Because if you'll read down in verse 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, you'll see that Herod sent his men down to Bethlehem to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. He had no intent of worshiping Christ. You see, he saw Jesus as a threat to his throne. And so that's why he had those babies 2 years old and under killed in Bethlehem. Now, look at what happened. I'll explain to you the story. All right, in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, after they departed, you see that? And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice that. It does not say where the baby was, where the infant was. It says that the star came and stood over where the young child was. I think what happened was, these wise men were in Persia, and the night that Jesus was born, the star appeared. And they said, we got to go. We got to go find the king. You say, well, how did they know about the king? You'll remember that the children of Israel had been taken captive and their scriptures with them. And they had a guy named Daniel who was not bashful and who preached to them. And these men believed the scriptures that they read. They knew who they were looking for. They knew that they were looking for the Messiah. And so they said, we're gonna go find the king. And they left, and 2 years that it took for them to come and to look and to search Israel. They could not find the king. And so they came to Herod, knocked on the door. Herod lets them in. Where's the king? Well, I'm the king. No, not you. The Messiah, the Christ. Where's he at? Herod said, I don't know. Let me get the rabbis in here and we'll ask them. They brought the rabbis in. And the rabbi said, Bethlehem, Judea. And so Herod says, Bethlehem, now you come back, tell me when you found him. I want to go worship him too. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And so they took off to go to Bethlehem. Folks, it's only 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles. I mean, just right down the ridge and you're in Bethlehem. And so they started out, and when they started out, the star appeared, and they didn't go south. They went north. And they went to Nazareth, where Joseph and Mary lived. You say, well, how do you know that? Folks, it fits the story. Look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Watch. And when they were come into the, what's the next word? House. Where was Jesus born? In a stable, in a manger. He was born in a stable. Now, I know this completely just messes up your nativity scene. I understand that. But nonetheless, this did not happen on the night our Savior was born. He was at least 2 years of age, at least. And if you will look at verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, not infant, not baby. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Now that's real key as well, folks. When they came in, they saw Mary and they fell down and worshiped him, not her. Amen. That's real key. I mean, a lot of folks, they don't understand that. No, but the wise men did not worship her. They worshiped him. Again, she sat and watched it all. She sat in awe and wonder as these kings from Persia came to bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and present them unto her son to thank God Almighty for the gift of his son. You see, folks, again, she is the little silent lady from Nazareth. She is the poor, humble girl from the poor area of Nazareth. I mean, you remember what they said about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? All right, it was the look down upon territory of Israel. It was sort of the redneck area, sort of the Dundalk of, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, don't you? All right, sort of the Dundalk of the area. Dundalk always gets a bad rap, don't they? But they do. They do. They don't deserve it, I don't think, but they get it. But that'll help you to understand. And so, why did they go to Bethlehem? They went down there for the census, to register and to pay their taxes. And while they were there, she gave birth. But they moved out of there and came back to Nazareth. And that's where the wise men came. And what I want you to see and realize is that the light hardly ever shined upon Mary. Mary never had the microphone. I mean, she was always standing in the background. When you read what Luke tells us about the birth of the Lord Jesus, you read about the shepherds and how they saw the night sky light up And as the angels of heaven rejoiced that the Savior of the world had been born. And Luke tells us the shepherds came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe resting in a manger where the animals are fed. And we are told that the shepherds went out and they spread the word everywhere, all over the area. They told what they had seen and what they had heard. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, we are told that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that interesting? I mean, she didn't say much. She didn't go out and seek recognition or fame or worship. No, she just sat back and she pondered all these things in her heart. But you know, that is the way it is with all great mothers. I mean, they just sit back and ponder. A godly mother is the happiest person when she just sits back and watches in the shadows as her children make right decisions and make godly choices in their lives. Folks, have you ever stopped to realize just how important the influence of mother is? One of our men came up to me this morning after the first service and said, Pastor, I don't know if you have ever heard this, but in war, in battle, whenever a soldier is wounded, whenever a soldier has been knocked down by artillery or by a bullet, they never cry out for their dad. They always cry out for their mother. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you're watching the NFL, and that linebacker comes across that line, and he's got blood running out his nose, and he's cut on the forehead, and blood's running down his cheeks, and he's all painted up on the inside of that helmet, and he's got blood all over his uniform, and the ball is hiked, and through that line he goes, and bodies are flying everywhere. And the quarterback hands off to the running back, and the running back hits that linebacker, and boom, down on the ground they go. And that linebacker gets up, and he's running off the field, and it's fourth down now, and they got a punt. And they put the camera right on that guy as he whips his helmet off, and blood's pouring everywhere, and he's got two teeth missing, and the camera's right in his face. And what's he do? He goes, "Hi, Mom." Why don't they ever say, "Hi, Dad"? You know, just once. But no, they always say, "Hi, Mom." You know why? Because there is nobody like Mom. There is absolutely nobody like Mom. Mom takes the cake. And folks, I want you to realize that she didn't say much. And she didn't seek the recognition, but she didn't have to. That's the way it is with all great mothers. And we just need to realize the importance and the influence that mom has. There has been a lot of great men who had worthless fathers. But you don't find many great men who had worthless mothers. That's true. That's true. Now, there are some, but very few. I could call the names of many men who gave testimony of how their father was a drunkard or was thrown into prison or who left home and never returned, but who had a godly mother who raised them and they rose to great heights to do great things for God. But rarely do you hear of the situation reversed. You just simply cannot underestimate the power of the influence that a godly mother has upon the life and future of a son or a daughter. In practically every instance of a great preacher that I have ever read about or known about, there is always a godly, loving, encouraging mother standing somewhere in the shadows, just like Mary was in the shadows. Now, folks, listen. Go back to John 19. Look carefully at John 19. And I want you to see this, and then I'll close. In John 19, we see the Lord Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross. I want you to use your imagination. Those of you that have been to the Holy Land with me, you've seen this mountain. You've seen this little hill. We sat there in that little place and looked to our right, and there was the place of the skull. You remember that. You remember that little bald knob. You remember that. If you look right over here, you can see the city, the old city of Jerusalem. Now, back in Bible times, there was no Arab bus station right there. All right? There was no Arab bus station. But I want you to picture in your mind a mob of people. They have come to watch, to look up on that hill and see the crucifixion. And they stand there in awe and they watch. And I want you to picture the Lord Jesus. He's carrying the crossbar of that cross. And then they get up to the mountain and they lay it down and they nail it together and tie it together. And then they took him stripped of his clothing. He has been beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah said in his great book in the Old Testament that when you looked upon him, his visage did not even look like a man. Imagine that. Imagine that. You could not even tell that that was a man hanging on that cross. He was beaten so badly. And they take his hands and nail them to the cross. Can you hear that? Can you hear that pain, that agony that he lets out when they nail his hands to the cross? And then they take his feet and they put them together and push them up a little bit so that he can, so that his feet go in that little lip that's on the main part, main beam of the cross, and they nail his feet to the cross. And then they lift that thing up in the air, and a hole has been dug into the ground. And they take the cross and hold it up and then drop it until it falls down into the bottom of that hole. And when it does, he lunges forward. And oh, the pain that must have caused. He is there in the hot Middle Eastern sun. He is there with the blood literally pouring from his body. And while he hangs there, all of heaven is looking on. Every single angel in heaven is at full attention. Sword is drawn and ready to come down to Calvary to rescue the Son of God. All he has to do is just nod at them and boom, everybody is slain and thrown head first into hell. Can you picture it now? Can you see it? I want you to see that horrible scene in your mind's eye. And when they nail him to the cross and then hang him between heaven and earth, while they watched on, it becomes obvious to you that he is about to speak. I wonder what he's going to say. I wonder what will come from his lips. All of heaven looks down. Every angel in heaven is bending an ear to hear what he's going to say. All of hell looks up to hear, what is the Son of God going to say? I wonder what it will be. What great theological truth is he going to utter? Is he going to call 10,000 angels to come and set him free? What's he going to say? Are you listening? Are you listening? Here's what he says. Look at verse 26. Here's what he says. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to that disciple, behold your mother. Now, folks, isn't that absolutely amazing? I mean, the greatest moment to date in his life. The greatest moment, the moment for which he was born, the moment for which he came into this world, and there he is on the cross doing what God the Father sent him here to do. And right when he's hanging on the cross, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, John, please take care of my mom. Isn't that amazing? John, please take care of Mama. I'm telling you, folks, that is so precious. That is so sweet. I just don't have words to express what that means. But now picture it. The wise men came to present him their gifts, and they worshiped him. Mary sat back in the shadows and watched. Then you keep reading, and Simeon took the eight-day-old, that priest that God was letting stay alive on this earth, even though he was well past the day he should have died. And he took the little eight-day-old baby Jesus in his arms, and he said, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Mary stood silently by when he did all this, and she pondered all this in her heart. When the prophetess Anna saw him, so pleased was she that she praised and worshiped the baby Jesus in whose presence she stood. And when Jesus was in the temple questioning the doctors of the law at 12 years of age, Mary sat in the back, stood in the shadows, and listened with amazement at what her son was saying. When he turned the water into wine, the focus was not upon her. But she was in the crowd. She was there. I mean, when he performed the mighty miracles that just astounded everybody, all eyes were on him, but Mary stood in the shadows. When he cast out the devils and healed all manner of diseases, everyone was looking at, everyone was focused on him, but Mary was off to the side, standing quietly and watching. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I wish my mother was here. I wish my mother could have been able to come to the Church of the Open Door just one time. I wish my mother could have gone down to Walkertown, North Carolina on the night that Dr. Smith had me preach. I wish she could have just been there when all of our group from across the world literally comes to the National Sword of the Lord Conference. I wish she could have just seen that one time. I wish she could have just lived long enough to see my first sermon in the Sword of the Lord. I'm telling you, everybody in Kanawha County would have known that I was in the Sword of the Lord. I'll promise you that. She would have showed everybody. She would have put it in the window of the car and drove it around. I mean, that's just how she was. I wish she could have come and just heard this great choir sing one time. I mean, just felt the presence of the Lord in this place like we do. But she's in heaven, and she's unable to be here. But maybe you are blessed enough to have your mother still here. If that's the case, would you make up your mind? You're going to make today a great day for your mom. I mean, if you have to call her and tell her how much you love her. I mean, just tell her, just wrap your, if she's here, put your arms around her and thank God that your mom is still here. You know, there's a lot of us that don't have mom still here. I wish I did. But thank God for mothers. They hold a very important place in God's heart. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Don't ever forget that.